This podcast is brought to you by Amusement Warehouse Magazine, the industry's largest trade publication. We cover amusement parks, carnivals, fairs, festivals, history, safety columns. We really got it all when it comes to the amusement business. Only remaining print publication in the amusement industry on a regular basis. So if you're interested in what the amusement industry has to offer, subscribe today. You can subscribe by logging on to amusementwarehouse.com, carnivalwarehouse.com, or amusementparkwarehouse.com. Welcome to another edition of the Amusement Warehouse Podcast. We're broadcasting live from Gibtown from the trade show this year with some special editions. We've got with us, what should I say, the man behind the trade show. He's going to be modest and say he's not, but he really is. Tom Arnold, who's the emeritus supervisor, which means nobody else will take the job and he has to do it for the rest of his life.
Stuck here, yep.
Stuck for life.
No, it's fun.
Tom, thanks and welcome for coming on.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. This, I mean, we come here and it's already set up. Everything's done, kind of like a fair, you know. It's like already done and in process. But what does it take to set the thing up? When do you start working on things and when do you move forward with it?
Oh, we have meetings. We start way before, well, this year we start right after Christmas getting it all together because we have the bike show and the circus and all that. So we really can't prepare anything in the buildings or outside till then, you know. But we have meetings. We'll have another meeting after this. We have a bunch of chairmen. Everybody has their own.
Everybody's a chairman.
Everybody has their own glitch. Parking, electric, you know.
Parking guys do a good job. They stopped me yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know what we do without all our, and we're losing our volunteers. They're getting older.
Oh, really?
Our volunteers are getting older, and
the younger people. I know your son's helping.
We're trying to get some new ones. That's my nephew, Alex. He's coming in as president.
Oh, your nephew. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Alex, he's coming in February. But yep, our whole family's here working. Karen's in the kitchen. You know, my sister, brother, everybody. We just volunteer to help. And there's so many other volunteers. This whole trade show wouldn't be on if you didn't have volunteers.
No, or Arnold's.
Yep.
In my opinion.
Oh, no. There's a lot of them here.
I'll fill in for your modesty with I'll give you the
okay. Yeah.
So the trade show looks great this year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I haven't heard the perpetual complaining that there's not enough rides like there used to be 20 years ago and all those
Correct. Things.
There's a lot. Nobody has any footing to even think about complaining this year. I mean, it's really people outdone themselves. What was it that brought more stuff this year? How did it?
I think the manufacturers had things that they could bring.
Right.
Before they couldn't bring it in because they didn't have anything really to show, or it was already sold, and now they're able to come back to the trade show. You know, of them couldn't come overseas. Different manufacturers, just the supply and demand for their products. But
they already made rides on spec. And that's what I think a lot of people they should know, but they don't seem to know, is yes, back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, some rides were built on spec. But you know who told me about it was Sellner.
Yeah.
Because I went and asked her one year early on, and I was like, you know, why? How come, you know, they don't bring a ride? And she said, look, I used to build a red Tilt-A-Whirl.
Yeah.
And that was all I built. So I bring one, and somebody would buy one. But then they want a purple bonnet, and they want a glittering this, and they want that. So,
correct.
You know, to be able to just build something and deliver it, you know, is not feasible anymore because they don't want a generic looking ride. They want custom, right?
Yep, they want their specs, you know, their colors, their canvas, everything, yeah, has a lot to do with it.
So now it's got to coincide with that ride being delivered at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, things, because there's so much equipment being purchased and delivered now, it all fell in line. And I think people see the benefit of having something here.
They all want to come here and kick the tires. They want to see it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's...
Everybody's here excited. I think February's the time everybody's got... They want something new for the year. They go out to the state fair, see what's new, what's the colors, you know. And
I was just teasing with Larson the other day because I remember back in the day when the High Roller came out. Remember when Cumberland Valley had it?
Yeah.
It was at the front of the Florida State Fair Midway, and everybody rushed over here and they bought High Rollers to Yep. Beat the band, and then after that, didn't do quite as well as people thought it was going to do. But man, yep, that just being at the State Fair,
yeah,
and during the trade show,
and seeing
it killed,
and seeing it sold, operate, and seeing how it works, and
people went crazy for it. I mean, yep, they just went crazy for it. But the trade show can have such a big impact. Colmax, more recent with the elephant, yep, when they brought the elephant,
yeah,
several years ago, that was a big hit, and you had Colmax. And you had the other company, Luna Park, out there,
yep,
but it was Colmax that actually had the ride and the elephant,
yep,
and they sold a ton of them.
Yeah.
So the payoff was big,
yep,
and continues to this day. So, you know, having something here and promoting it and being around is really a tremendous thing.
Yeah, we got 11 new outside exhibitors, and there's 19 total new exhibitors. Either they were here before or they're back. So that's how we count new ones from last year.
That's great.
And so we had to go out to the east side when we added on. And
a little yeah, jog leg out
the
there.
The annex, and that's working good, you know. And
people, some new manufacturers. You have Steve Lisko with Equipment yeah, Solutions, and Kevin Exum's
yeah,
guys Kevin, out there. And
Kevin brought a new giant wheel here.
I saw that, yeah.
And he wanted to bring his Tornado, but he couldn't get it off the boat in time.
That's it. Steve yeah, Lisko said he had the same problem. With
Lisko. He
brought
couple,
his own
yeah,
Roundup looking thing. Yeah.
Yep, and Isabella in the front, Luna Park, they had another ride that was supposed to be here.
Oh, really?
It's not going to get here till Saturday. She was really disappointed. So there's a lot of it is the shipping getting here. But everybody seems excited to come here. They want to buy something. But a lot of them are out like 2 or 3 years out to get anything.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years. I was yeah, like, I was kidding. I was like, but half serious. I was like, do you buy an insurance policy on the owner of the ride manufacturer? Because you're giving them hundreds of thousands of dollars and you're talking yeah, 5 years down the road sometime. I mean, some of them were telling me 28, 29. Yeah. They were
I've heard 2030 already. Oh. It's crazy.
God knows we're going to be in 2030. God willing, we'll be around.
I hope we're here. Yeah, but I think we will.
That's
I think,
great,
you know, everybody that's in this business comes here. It's the Florida Week, the OABA, we're thankful they moved back to this week, and the NICA Food Show, so we're all kind of together. This is where it should be.
You did a very nice job getting yeah, everybody together. It was, I didn't like the separation.
No.
Not at all. And in my opinion, just me.
Yeah.
This is the trade show.
Yeah.
That's why this exists, you know? I mean,
exactly,
all those other things are hangers-on, add-ons, and it's great.
Yeah,
that they can participate. It's great that they have their own space and you promote them,
yep,
and everything else. But you know, I think sometimes people forget
we all got to stick
we're busy
together
this week because of this place, not sure, because of any other place, because of this place.
Yeah,
this is why we're busy. So it's really important, I think, to support you guys. I mean, you're really the club itself. You're really the last remaining true club.
Yes.
In the country. I don't know if there's any in California. I don't know if you know of any, but
I don't know if there's still the Showman's Club out there. But I know there's still the St. Louis, you know, different clubs.
But I'm talking about a club where people yeah, come at night
go,
and
yeah,
there's a bar and there's things to do and to celebrate. I mean, I was around when, you know, Tampa and some of the
social
other ones
club,
were big, but
yeah,
I imagine this is somewhat like it was, you know, and I don't see it anywhere
no,
else. Where
I don't either. And we're just thankful everybody comes here. They call it Florida Week now, but still.
I don't. I call it Trade Show Week.
Still Trade Show Gibbtown Extravaganza. And it's huge this year. That's that was our motto. It's huge this year.
It is huge.
We're excited.
It really is huge. What, are people optimistic? You see them excited about buying things, excited about doing things?
Oh, yeah. I think so. And if you look at another point right across from us, is the used ride. You don't see
it's
much.
It's almost empty.
You don't see used stuff. People are out buying and looking. They want things. They can't get it. It needs to get back where they can get things again.
Yeah, the market's
yeah,
got to balance
the
out
market,
because
yeah,
I was just going to mention that to you. The board, which is usually
yeah, they're
overrun with things,
yeah,
is
on top of
half
each
empty,
other. Yep. Not much used stuff for sale.
And a lot of times the stuff that's still around is not in the greatest shape. You got to really
yeah, people want it now when they're.
The stuff
and they're out working more. I mean, years ago, you used to go home in November. You know, down here, people would come home in November, be done. Pretty much now, people are working year-round to keep their help, or there's more things to do. Before, there wasn't places to go in Florida or in Texas or that. They took 2-3 months off. I think people are working more year-round.
Year-round.
To keep their health.
And I do see so many people, you know, they say, I've heard these things, but people say there's so many less carnivals than there used to be.
Yeah.
But I see all these people I never even heard of. I mean, I don't even know that have carnivals or small carnivals or different things. I tend to be a little skeptical when I hear that. There's a lot of shows out there. There's a lot of, I mean, I look at that board and watch people buying, and there's people I never saw. I never saw in my life. You know, I mean, I know most of the bigger show owners, but some of these smaller show owners, I met a guy today, never heard of him. He had a little show in Pennsylvania or something.
Little mom and pops are growing,
Yeah, he's been independent for a while. I think so, but I think they fly under the radar. They come here, but are they, big OABA members? Are they, whatever? Probably not, but they do their thing when they're sort of doing their thing. So it's, I don't know if you've seen a lot of that, but there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of different ones. Yeah, I noticed that too. People I don't know are just like what you said.
Yeah, they come up from somewhere and they're doing whatever they're doing. But
And that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Because there's a big demand for carnivals, school carnivals. And
people calling all the time when they're doing things. So you just had Patty Sullivan.
Passed. She waved.
Runs the great Eli Bridge Company.
Yeah.
How's the club doing in general? The club's doing
Well, great. We the hurricane came.
I see a little bit here and there of like even just around Gibbtown of a little siding missing or something going on.
Yep, it was rough. The water came up into the building the way up to this bar. And the gazebo back there it was warped and everything, but we had came in a crew, fixed it, and repaired it. Some of the front of the building blew off. We had a lot of trees down, and they cleaned it up. When we came home, we came. It was really eerie feeling. We were up in Panama City, and we couldn't come south because the hurricane was coming. We chose to stay there, and then when we come home, trees and everything was dark. But we came home, and my brother put the generator out. Plugged everything in. We're the only ones on the block that had power,
And I saw, I was on Facebook, but I don't know if it was Teresa or whoever, but they talked about, there's people that live here that are retired, and you guys did a great job getting them all to safety and making sure they...
Our retirement village, they all went to the motel to get out of here because this is a flood zone. If we had the major one came in here, we would be up like 27 feet of water.
But those kind of things people don't think about. Those services you provide for people that are out there is just, people don't think about it. They come into the trade show and they go home and but the retirement village is so important.
The museum.
We have down there the Showman's Rest thing too, which I don't know if it's affiliated with you guys, but it's it's part of the whole.
All spun off here.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And it's those are services that we otherwise wouldn't get. Or people wouldn't get. They get left behind, or they forgotten, or whatever you want to call it. But it's an important thing.
We do the Christmas parties. We give up Christmas baskets. We passed out 100 baskets for needy families. We do the handicapped Christmas party here. We bring up. They bus them in from the schools here. They do a lot of things for charity in the area. Because this is the only place in the whole world. This is the only place in the whole world that has RSB zoning, which is residential show business, RSB. So you're allowed to have your stuff in your yards, and it's slowly disappearing here because the developers are coming in and putting condos and apartments and all that. They're running this little area out, It's a shame because this is where everybody started. And
still are. A lot of people are still here. I mean, there's a lot of people still here. You drive by, you drive down Gibsonton Drive, you see all the places that are... This is the headquarters for the American Carnival, really. I mean, at least on the East Coast, anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a similar place on the West, but...
I don't know. I've never been out. I went out there to visit once when the IAPA show was out there in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And we went and visited a few carnivals out
there. Yeah, but just for here, it's where everything is. It's where everything is.
This is it.
Happens. What are you looking to make changes to the show in any way? Like, what things are you trying to add or...
Well, our campground has been a hit.
Okay.
Each year it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now we need to add some more power because we have more room to add on. And people are realizing where you can bring your trailer here and stay here for the week and go to all the events, but you don't have to move around because the traffic is, as you know,
I'm sure
is horrendous
getting
around
getting out
here.
Of here is like a pain in the neck with things.
The traffic's really... but we've added on the campground. And so that's one.
What about the show itself, though? Are there things you've thought about adding or
yeah, we're
trying
always looking.
Or doing things like that? Like, you know, I thought, like, one thing I thought of one time, and I don't know if it's possible, but like the big independent fairs, let's say Minnesota and those, could like you get a guy that books that stuff to have like office hours in the building over there? So if a guy wanted to propose food or something like that, you know, they could get 5 minutes with them or something like that to pitch their food stand or do something like that or a game or whatever
sure.
it might be, you know, something like that. I thought, because you know, you have Wisconsin, you have Minnesota, you have all the independent ones.
Yeah.
That might be a useful thing to do.
We would look into that, yeah.
I
asked the guy from NARSO if we could get a class here again to come here during the week or before or whatever. We have the facilities. We have a lot of facilities. We have the Carousel Pavilion. We have an upstairs. Right now we're doing Surf Safe for the food upstairs.
Those have been a big hit. And the forklift operator.
We're looking for all that, and we have the room and the facilities to handle that.
I think that's the one thing, if we can beef that up, would be really helpful. You know, have seminars, which they never really took off. Some did, some didn't.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe there's some things that could go on. I actually talked to a friend of mine not too long ago that works for Grainger. He said that Grainger could do a whole bunch of classes and seminars and things for people. So, it was late this year, but... You know, talking next year about
that would be nice.
Something like that, I think that would be.
We're always open for ideas.
Is anything practical that can help, you know, the industry or help people do what they're doing is pretty neat. You know?
Yep.
So it'd definitely be a big help.
We all got to be together, together.
What other events are going on this week that should people not miss?
Well, the OABA has Top Golf tomorrow night, and the Tampa Club. It's going to have, I see next week, their installation of their officers. I heard the men and the women are going to join together.
Okay.
They used to have the one side and the ladies auxiliary, I believe. And now they're merging together this year.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit, I didn't even know that club was still around. But I remember some people were in it and did some things. That used to be like a big, like Royal American used to basically control that club,
downtown.
Right?
They sold their building downtown, and they have a new clubhouse. North Tampa, and you had the NICA food show that just got over Tuesday night. The state fair's on, you know.
Yeah.
We're setting up right now and down in Wauchula. We open there Saturday, so there's a lot of different things around that people come here and then they go visit.
Could you like organize like a tour to the state fair? Would that be interesting?
We've thought of that years ago. They did that.
I worked there a couple years. I thought about it too. I was just so busy doing it that I never coordinated. But maybe I could talk.
It would be fun for a big group go.
Yeah, bring a big bus over there. Yep. The manufacturers actually could put a little thing in front of their rides that they have that are out there. You know, that might be interesting. They can maybe set up a tent and talk to some of the people as they come by. It might be.
That would be fun tour.
Might be something interesting.
Yeah.
I'll make a call on that.
Sounds great.
Good contact. I worked with Cheryl for a while.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great. I think
you'd have a lot of people want to do that. It's fun.
I think so too. And I think because even the manufacturers, if they were kind of by their newest ride out there, because that's a showcase out there too, right?
It sure is.
If they stood by it, you know, it'd be a place to sell and it'd be a place to do things. So I think it would be just a nice adjunct to.
Yeah,
the figure out which night, because we're so busy here every night. But.
Yeah, the manufacturers here used to have rides out there and here, so they'd say go out there and see them.
Right, but if you did it in a formal way,
you
say, you know, whatever, Wednesday night, I'm going to pick the wrong night and somebody's going to yell at me, but Wednesday night, you're going to have booths set up, we're going to take buses over, we're going to do a whole thing, there'll be a special stuff from the fair, you know, have a tour. I think it can be pretty neat.
Fair day.
It can be pretty neat. Well, we're winding down our little thing. I want to personally thank you for all you do, and you do a lot. I know you're going to be modest and say something very nice that you spend so much time, you and your family, and this place couldn't be without you, and it's really a special place. It really is.
And we thank you for all you do. Yeah, we love your magazine.
We just sit here and yap and talk, right.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming out. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you.
And anything we can do to help, you let us know, Tom.
I sure will.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next year.
We'll be here.
All right.
Today we are here with a very special guest, never before interviewed.
Nope.
Phil Wilson. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
How's the trade show look this year?
Trade show looks good. It looks good.
A lot of equipment, right?
A lot of equipment.
You know, the people who come by and beef and say, oh, there's not a lot of equipment here, but I don't think they have a reason to complain.
There's enough equipment.
There's a serious amount for, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's enough equipment.
So you've been walking around. What do you see? Anything interesting?
Is there anything new? Not really. I haven't seen anything new this year except the price of food joints. They're into the $400,000 and $500,000 range now.
You never thought you'd be saying that, right?
Never. The only thing I've never thought I'd ever be saying to anybody is that games and food joints now look like show fronts.
They do.
And they're much nicer than our show fronts from years gone by.
In a lot of ways. I remember when, like, one of the Otterbacher ones, who was, like, the premier builder at the time, broke 200,000. It was like the end of the world or something
like
that.
Yep.
And now, like, somebody told me that the other day, that it was close to $500,000 for one of those.
Well, when you get right down to it.
You got to sell a lot of corn dogs, man.
Well, not only that, I'm not sure that a carnival can make it without their food now. And that's why the show owners own the food.
Yeah.
You know? And the independents get the leftovers. You know? So, but whether it's Frank Zajac or whether it's Ryan Reithofer just figured it out that, wait a minute, this food thing is
big.
Yeah,
they're one of the bigger shows that weren't really in the food business.
You know, and now he just went out there and bought two new ones.
Drew wasn't really. We were talking the other day to them, and they weren't
So that's what it is. I mean, it's our business has changed so much. But the biggest change in our business in the last 15 years is, number one, is LED lights. And now, when you look on a midway, they're just like looking at, you used to look at incandescent lights years ago. They're there now.
They're there.
And that's the name of the game.
Except for the patterns and things that they can do.
And then, of course, the second biggest one is the migrants, the H2B. I mean,
can't operate a show without them, basically.
They can't operate without them. And now, I just talked to Mrs. Elliott, and there she says we're on E and we might not get them.
Oh, as far as their priority, yeah.
They might not get them.
I thought you meant figuratively, like their gas tank was empty. Like,
no,
I got you.
No, just so I mean, and you know, it's strange that ever since Mr. Trump, and in the long run, I think that it might be okay, everything's going to be okay, the Biden free money is gone. It's gone. So therefore, I was at Home Depot this morning. And what do you usually see at Home Depot's parking lot in the mornings?
People looking for work.
Huh?
People looking for work.
None. Zero. So even in West Palm Beach, the Sundays, we usually get a lot of Mexicans. We didn't get them this year. I mean, don't get me wrong, West Palm was fine. But we didn't get them this year like we normally do.
So you just played, and you're playing two of the biggest events
of the year.
Year, January, February. It's pretty neat. So South Florida Fair in West Palm, where our friend Matt Wallsmith just took over as manager his first year, and now the Florida State Fair had West Palm. West Palm had some unseasonably cold weather a couple of days.
Yes, it did. It had some
crazy
cold
almost.
Weather, and. For me to tell you that it wasn't good, it was fine. But is it more back to normal? Yes, it's more back to normal, pre-pandemic.
As far as spending?
As far as spending goes, it's pre-pandemic back to normal.
And
that's fine, we can live with that.
How's the Florida State Fair so far?
For me personally, because of location, number one, it's down about 20%. Because
last year wasn't a great year.
And it wasn't a great year. So I'm still down because they've made changes to the gate also where that I sit on. They close it at 9 o'clock at night.
I mean, I mentioned, but what do you have now? You've had all kinds of things over the years.
One time I had 55 employees working. I had 11 back-end shows that used to go to the Oklahoma State Fair.
Wow.
And did it drive me crazy? Yeah, it did. Did it make
me... So there's a reason.
Yeah. But did I make a lot of money back then? Yeah, I did. I mean, there was times that me, Ward Hall, all the back end people sat clean across and took up the entire back end of the Ohio State Fair.
Tim Dermer was there then?
Oh, yes. Well, no. Tim Dermer wasn't there at the time. Peter Henning was there.
Okay.
And people like Eric Rasmussen was there. And me and Ward Hall.
Who was the guy out west? I think his name was Bobby something or other.
Bobby Reynolds.
Bobby Reynolds.
He was there too with the sideshow. And we all made money, big money.
All those independent attractions where you charge for whatever. That's good. All those independent attractions, you just valleyed and made a few bucks, whatever, a dollar or two.
Yep. It was,
How did you get in the sideshow business?
Well, I'll tell you how. It's pretty simple, really. I was 16 years old, and I saw a gorilla show at the Florida State Fair, owned by a guy named George Dugan. And he had just brought it over here from the Brazilians, which was the gorilla show started out to be a girl changing into a skeleton.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Well, he figured out how to do the illusion, and he turned it into a gorilla instead. And from him and a guy named Hank Wren were partners, and they made a lot of money. Well, at 16, I said, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an illusionist. I wanted to be in the back-end business. So therefore, it was right in the middle of it, about 1969, and my friend and I decided to go to Woodstock. So we went to Woodstock first, and we spent 4 days there in the mud, the grime, this and that, the whole bit. But it was 4 days of the highlight of my life at that time. 400,000 people strong with no fighting, no biting, no, just pot. So, you know, so it was fun. So after the thing was over, I decided it was time for me to grow up. So I went to New York, and I met a guy, and he was in the novelty business, named Arthur Jacobs. And we partnered up together in a few things, and I stayed around New York for about 6 months, made enough money, and I called George Dugan. And I said, George, you got any reason you want to sell that gorilla show? He says, who is this? I said, it's Philip Wilson. Harvey Wilson's son? Yeah. He says, I'll call you back and I'll let you know. So he called me back in a couple of days, and he says, I'll sell it for $7,000. I had $7,000. So he says, well, you better get here to get it. I said, why? He says, I can't tell you why, but you better get here to get it. So I got there and I bought it. While I was buying it, a phone call came in. And he says, Harvey, you're not going to believe who's sitting in the seat that just bought that gorilla show. Your son.
And your dad wanted to buy it?
My dad was going to buy it.
And did he have back-end shows?
Huh?
Did he have back-end shows, your dad?
Oh, yes. Dark Rides, Fun Houses, and Glass House. He manufactured them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He built Hofbra House for Frank Zajac. He built Glass Houses and Fun Houses and Dark Rides. And he was like the Sacchinis.
And shows are so, you know, because so then you operated the gorilla show for forever, right?
Oh, forever. And then different versions of it, from the Haunted Disco, which was 120-foot front, to the Devil Doll show, which is another 120-foot show.
Did you ever do the Man-Eating Chicken?
No. But almost, I did ones that were better than that. Even.
Didn't you do, like, the Chupacabra or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, I
did. Puerto Rico with the Music
yes,
of America?
Yes, I did. And I did...
How did that do?
I did the Petrified Woman.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And a drug show. That was.
And a drug show was one of my best. Actually, the drug show was one of my best single-o shows that I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't gross as much as the gorilla show.
I remember when you had the gorilla show, we were doing like RFK Stadium.
Yeah. And
DC,
they'd run.
And the people would run through the joint, through Dale Bush's joints.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He'd go, and Phil Wilson, he's. Yeah. These people come and they tear down my
joint. But when you get right down to it, I come from a long line. When you go into that other bit over there on the end down there, there's a picture on the wall there, and her name's Jolly Dixie. That was my great-great-grandmother.
Really?
Yeah. And she was a fat lady.
Fat lady?
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And so I'm five generations in this business. My great-great-grandfather coined the phrase 23 Skidoo because his name was Skidoo Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the show is, I mean, they're kind of a lost art in the business now, right?
It's done. They're done. You can see more right now on Facebook and on TikTok as far as freaks go and stuff like that go than anything that we could ever produce.
I've been reading a lot of carnival history lately, and shows were the show, really. I mean,
the back end started this business.
Right. I mean, there were a couple rides, and you know, when a lot of these shows got started, a couple rides, and you had shows, and that's what...
Yeah, the back end started this business. It didn't start anywhere else. I mean, it evolved so much that at one time, and you couldn't do it today, this is what's funny. I owned a girl show at one time, a burlesque show, and it held 500 people. To 800, and one time I had one that held 1,000 people, and we could fill it up every night, four times a night. And could you get by? And we also, on the Royal American show, had what's called a jig show. It was an all-black burlesque show, and they'd fill it up every night too, you know. But could you get away with a show like that in today's world? You'd be closed down the minute you tried to open it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how, but you can have all the nudity you want on TikTok and Facebook.
But you did come up with some, like the drug show. You adapted.
Yes.
And you came up with some new ideas.
Right. Well, you had to adapt.
The Chupacabra, when we went to Puerto Rico, and you know, you knew the legend of the Chupacabra. You built that show.
Well, yeah, but you had.
But couldn't a person with some ideas, some creativity, come up with something?
What kind of ideas would you get them out now?
I don't know.
I mean, just think about it. When I did the drug show, or anything like that. Well, drugs was a foreign thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a foreign thing. And I mean, it wasn't something that was out in the open. It was hidden behind doors. And so if you put a drug addict in there out of Vietnam and put a snake around his neck, they absolutely believed that this guy was a thing. Now, you know, my thing is, today's world, not unlike other times in history, people will believe anything. You know how many years that I fooled people thinking that a girl could change into a gorilla? Think about that. I once walked in LaGrange, Georgia, into a Waffle House with my 6'2" gorilla show girl, and we couldn't get in because the place was packed. We couldn't get in.
She's a celebrity, like.
Yeah, so I said, what are we gonna do? There's no place to eat. I said, yeah, there is. So I walked into the front door, and I walked in with her, and I said, Zambora, as loud as I could say it. It cleared the fucking restaurant up, and we sat down and
couldn't
ate.
You have just said, if she gets hungry, she turns into a gorilla, please get her seat right away.
I didn't have to. There was enough people that saw the show know exactly who she was.
That's funny. That's really funny. Know. How long did you operate the gorilla show? When was that until?
35 years. I operated
until...
when
did you stop?
2000.
Oh, it's been that long?
Yeah. 2001.
So the last time you operated a sideshow, it's been 20 years.
Oh, yeah, 20 years, yeah.
And there's a couple guys that still have a couple of shows, but not really.
Yeah, but not really. No, right. There's
nothing out there. They play a few spots, or they do a couple things. They do.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, it was time to venture off into other things.
I guess like Tommy with the Butt Ward show.
Yeah, I just saw him out there, you know. But he's doing it as a free act now.
Which is pretty smart.
Which is a smart guy. You know, if I was ever going to have a free act and I thought I could get away with it, even at my age, I would almost attempt to do it. If you could ever, for a free act, put out the Monkey Speedway, it would be phenomenal as a free act, you know. But those monkeys are $40,000 a piece now, you know. So.
Maybe Phil's monkey riding dog people do.
Phil Vivona's monkey.
It's Phil Vivona. The monkey loves Phil. Loves me too. Used to. I know.
But I mean, it's been a long road. It's been a good road though. You know, it's been a fun road.
And then you kind of got into some of the special attractions.
Yeah, the thrill zone type stuff. Yeah, I've been in a lot of those.
Euro bungees and
bulls. Bungees, bulls, rock walls, water balls. You name it. I there's just about every end of that business I've been in once in a while. There was a long time that I was making a lot of, I go into Ohio State Fair and I had 7 pieces in there on the Independent Midway. And they, you know, and it was phenomenal, you know. And I did that at Florida State Fair too. I had 5 pieces in. Giant slingshot. It was 100 feet.
Oh, you had a slingshot too? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I got something there. And it was fine, but I sold them all. I mean,
did you dabble in food at all?
I'll tell you what I did one time. My wife and I, in Springfield, Illinois, we said, well, let's try some food. What are we going to try? You ever heard of Chipwich?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I like Chipwich.
Right, I do too. And when we first came out, Monica and I built a Chipwich joint, my wife and I. And when they first came out, and we were doing very well with it. I mean, it was, I said,
but
hey,
you just
I
have
think
a freezer
like
and you just threw out
yeah,
the Chipwich? Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
But in Illinois, at the Illinois State Fair, it was with Rod Link at the time, Olsen Shows, whatever, World of Pleasure. The health department was giving me such a ration of shit.
For a rat?
Yeah, for a rat piece of thing. I said, what the fuck? I asked him, I said, what is unhealthy about this? He said, well, you need 3 sinks. I said, I got 3 sinks.
3 sinks for what?
I don't know. I haven't figured out, but I had them anyhow. I read the rules ahead of time. He said, well, you can't have it outdoors.
Does the supermarket have 3 sinks?
I said, why can't I have it outdoors? Anyway, every day this friggin' inspector had it in for me. And so he came up one day, he says, well, I'm going to have to close you because you don't have that sink sanitized right. I said, it hadn't even been used today yet. So he started giving me a ration of shit, and I come over to the counter and grabbed him by the throat and hit him on the ground and started slapping the shit out of him.
Not good for the food business, baby.
No, no. So I said, oh, God, I'm in trouble. So here comes Rod Link down the Midway. My dad, he was on that show at the same time, and they made me close it up. I said, okay. I said, Monica says,
do you ever run into anything with the sideshows in inspection?
No, never.
Because nobody, probably nobody knows what to inspect.
No. They don't know what to inspect.
Yeah. They don't know what to look at. They don't know where to go.
No, nothing.
So now you're supposedly semi-retired?
Semi-retired. I play 3 months a year now. That's it. I play from Lebanon, Tennessee, and then the balance of the season with Robbie.
And that's going to the
yeah,
reasons of
yeah,
America.
Yeah.
And, it's not just me that's listening, it's people.
Oh, yeah, with Amusements of America. A great show to be around. I've been around them longer than Robbie.
I've been around longer than Robbie.
Yes. So, I mean, it's been a great
when
show
Robbie
to be around.
Robbie and Mark were like inseparable when they were little kids, eh?
Yeah. And, you know, AD was one of my best friends.
That's the show.
And, you know, and
he was a great, talented
guy. Great guy. And brilliant. He was brilliant.
He's lay out a lot. You know, when he was in the mood not to work too hard, I think he could just take a pallet of sticks, drive down the Midway with his golf cart, and throw them out, and they'd land like perfectly. And
I know he was. What his knowledge about rides was absolutely phenomenal.
Unpassable.
And he would call just before he'd get to the last ride and says, "We're going to the golf course," and that's where we would go. You know, so I mean, yes, he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he
and
was.
Little John, the whole family, it's a tragedy. It's just...
But the cousins are doing great. They're all
they
friends.
They are doing
they're
great. Marco is a great guy. Dominic Jr., they're all...
Yeah, they're, really,
they're all 100%
they
in.
They get along.
Morris gets along. I mean, they all get along together, and that's a good thing.
That's
and
great.
Robbie's up there in Miami right now, no help, and
doing
working
they
his ass
off. Should cut that out. Give it a joke. I'm going to have Phil on again, I think, with all the boys. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure, always
yep.
interesting.
Yep.
Our next guest on the Music Warehouse podcast, Gibbtown Special Edition, is R.D. Thomas. The little herd from R.D. Thomas.
Yep.
People are going to be like, I can't believe this guy's doing an interview. Here he is. R.D., welcome. Thanks for coming on and sharing your thoughts with us. How you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. Great to see you, man. So, you guys are the new and upcoming little show, huh? You're really doing well for yourselves. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you.
I believe so. I guess it's been about 10 years now we bought.
10 years, holy mackerel.
Yeah, Swank Steel City Shows. And
I always love that name, Swank Steel City Shows.
Yeah.
Out
really,
of Pittsburgh everywhere.
And we bought their whole route was based around Pittsburgh. And just up a couple of years ago, we were down to we only had a few locations left that were original locations because we picked up our Florida, our North Carolina route, still Pennsylvania, a little bit of New York from previous locations that Eddie played with the small unit. And yeah, we're still doing well. And now we've joined back up and taken over a lot of locations, Forky and Debbie's locations. So yeah, things are moving in the right direction.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that's quite the stuff. I mean, starting a new show from scratch isn't something you take lightly, right? It's
no, it's.
I did it myself once, so I remember really? It's a little scary. We carried around a little camera of pictures of rides we're gonna have.
Yeah.
And we show it, and like, yeah, this one, that one, and then people booked us and we did well, but it's quite the endeavor.
Yeah, we first started off, we had the one winter. It was the first winter we didn't have working in the shop because we didn't have a shop. So we took the whole winter. We got our Facebook page going, as you guys helped us with our website. We got that going, the social media part of it. And we did a couple of pictures, I think, in our living room with our booth set up, which looked like it was in a convention, but it was living room of our house. So we got all that aspect going, and we started into our season with, we had almost more rides than we needed. So we were bringing a lot of equipment into kind of smaller locations, so it was overloaded, but we were putting on a good show. Swing buggy, tilt-a-whirl, some pretty big rides, and big wheel. And so yeah, it was a good start. At least we had all of our help. We had good guys that had been with us for 15, 20 years. So that was probably the key to really getting us going in the right direction.
Did you keep any of the people from Swanks or?
Only a couple guys. Just a couple guys stayed with us. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good though, because you had by every measure, a better show than what had been brought in the year before. So you knew you were gonna. Have a good reception, you think.
That was the one thing with Bill and Patty. They did a phenomenal job with all of their locations. Their equipment was top-notch. So it was just a couple of bigger rides that we were able to bring in. But yeah, we did well.
So no committee's going to be upset.
No.
Oh, no, you're bringing in a big flying bobs or something.
You know, no. We just added to the route with a spring route, and we had a fall route in North Carolina.
What was their route then? Was it just pretty short?
It was very short.
Truncated,
Just right around Pittsburgh.
And when did it start?
It was, I think it
May
was like around April,
yeah. And then they're done by September, October,
exactly.
You wish you kept that?
I like starting off where it's warm.
Yeah.
It's nice.
That does make it
nice.
It's
nice starting off at our shop. Our first location is 20 miles from our shop, so nice and warm.
So your family and the Powers family have a long, fruitful relationship. How long have you guys been around each other?
I'd say, close to 40 years. So, I'm third generation. My grandfather was in vaudeville, traveling the Midwest, and he moved a 40 by 60 tent, doing magic shows, and somehow along the way.
You know any magic?
No, I didn't do any magic, not me. Somehow along the way, he ended up buying a tilt-a-whirl, and ended up on Murphy Amusements, but not the big Murphy. It was Marge and Dick Murphy and around in the Midwest.
Okay.
I think a lot of people know him. He got into fiberglass work, but it was a small car.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he always came to the trade show.
They used to have ads in the music business.
He stayed busy for years. And then my parents joined up with their carnival, and my dad had bought a tilt-a-whirl when I was 12, and because he just had my parents came out first with a mouse game. And they still operate that same mouse game to this day, 53 years later.
Is that right?
They still operate. My parents have the tilt-a-whirl, swing buggy, mouse game, and a basketball game. But yes, they still operate. They're almost 80 years old. So they're still working the game with our carnival now.
Tilt's a tough ride to be your first. It's like in between a spectacular and a main. It's tough to move. My guys used to always complain that it was the worst job to be a foreman of because
it had
all the work of a spectacular, but not the pay of a spectacular. Yeah.
Well, my dad bought the tilt-a-whirl when I was 12, and that's when my life changed.
You had to move it.
I started working on a tilt 12, 13, 14.
And what did you have? Just like chains to pull it up and everything back then, or is it?
We did have a hoist, but some of it had to be manhandled, but it was rough. But the crazy thing was, even as a kid, I was as motivated making overnighters back in circus jumps. 13, 14, 15 years old, driving trucks. It was crazy, but I was just as into doing it as
they
were. It was kind of crazy, yeah. I just love the business.
So eventually they joined up with Powers, or was it?
Yeah, we had independent rides for a while. We started playing in Florida, met Bob Gillis, who was looking for a tilt-a-whirl because Corky had just started, and Bob Gillis had just started their carnival, and only been in business for a few years. And Barterball had a tilt-a-whirl with Corky, and then he left, Barterball Amusement. So when they left, they needed a tilt-a-whirl and gave us the offer to come over. And we had independent rides with Corky. And
what was the show then?
Amusements of Rochester.
Amusements of Rochester, right.
Yeah.
Dick Janis was around.
Mark. So, we had independent rides, Scrambler, Tilt-A-Whirl, Octopus, Games with Corky, and that's where I met Tracy, my wife, you know, his daughter. And so we stayed there and worked. It was just a few years later, I started working at Corky's Winter Quarters, rebuilding rides for Corky, as well as moving our rides. And then I started, after a few years, I started managing Corky's rides on the Dark Blue unit. And so
Dark Blue and Light Blue.
Dark Blue, Light Blue. Eddie was managing the Light Blue, and I took care of Corky's rides on the Light Blue, or Dark Blue unit. So that was a lot. It was a big,
responsibility.
Big responsibility, yes, for years.
And you were moving north and south then, right?
Yeah. It wasn't, when it first started, it was Flying Bob, Skywheel. It was some big rides back then.
Not easy rides either.
No. How we did it with the help we had back then. We did it though. We made some pretty
always remember when you used to do it is like how did I do that? But you did it. You know, just like before we had cell phones, somehow we communicated, but you did it, right?
Yeah. Before we had the H2Bs, we made a circus jump from Syracuse to Buffalo with a Skywheel, Flying Bob's. Pretty hard equipment. So, yeah.
So you guys started out on your own with you bought a show and you've added some equipment to it, and you've been adding since then, right? How much have you added? What big pieces have you added? And
we just bought a wheel, 22
kind of wheel?
Meter wheel.
22 meter.
Luna Park. And we have a Bertazzon swing buggy coming. A Bertazzon wave swinger coming.
Wave swinger.
Yes, we have a swing buggy.
I thought you did. I was like,
we've had it for about 14 years. Beautiful, great ride, great company, really good ride. And
believe how much these rides are these days? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Somebody told me like the price of a Scrambler the other day or last year or something like that. I was like, holy
massive. Yeah. Well, we just bought a new house trailer a couple of years ago, and it was $250,000. And we just looked at the same exact trailer 2 years later, and it's $450,000. Here at the show.
It was Gary Otterbacher was telling me some people were sold in his old offices for more than what he sold them for originally. You know, because they're still in great shape and they're in demand. It's crazy how much equipment has been worth. We used to say, not that long ago, the equipment's not worth much, it's the spots that are worth it. But now the equipment's
changing now. I think, and some of the equipment is actually gaining in value now.
It's
becoming a good investment.
You never would have made that statement even 15 years ago. Really, it was it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. So the route's expanded. You go south now and you go north. You got a whole North Carolina route.
Yeah, we have a long route. We end up in Georgia. It's our last location. Then we winterize. We go to the shop. And we have 4 months off. I wouldn't say 4 months off. We have a shop.
4 months we don't travel.
Yes. Holly Ridge.
Holly Ridge is where your winter quarters is?
Yeah. We just put up a new shop. 80-foot by 250-foot shop to store the equipment. And our 80-foot by 100-foot shop is where we do all of our work. And at least North Carolina, we can work outside a little bit.
Mostly, right?
And we've been working. We have a ride in. Took to West Palm this year. Just kind of changed things up. And to Tampa now.
It was a little cold in West Palm, too, right, this year? A couple of days, anyway.
A little bit, yeah.
I went down one day. It was like 50 or something. I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. Staying busy. Yeah, we were in New York. That was Gazzetto, New York Funhouse.
That's a beautiful piece.
We have a few Colmax pieces, the Jumbo Ride, the Dragon Coaster, teacups. So, we're trying to, We haven't added a lot of numbers because we're trying to replace equipment and upgrade and get newer, more modern equipment.
Right, right.
But.
And what about size-wise? Are you content to be where you are? Or are you looking to?
Well, since we just kind of joined, you know, after starting our own show, we now kind of took over Corky's route.
Right.
And so now we play all of Corky's locations along with a few of our locations from before, which has dramatically changed the size of our carnival. So, yeah, it's dramatically expanded.
So where do you guys combine? You go to Rhinebeck and
Gaithersburg. Gaithersburg, Rhinebeck, Allentown, and even in all the other locations, Cork and Debbie have rides that stay with us. 7-8 rides, I believe. And one of his guys stays with us and travels, so his rides are with us, but they bring the big power rides to those spots, Rhinebeck, Gaithersburg.
And New York State, I mean, North Carolina State Fair.
Actually, that's the one location.
You don't go to.
We still have a good location in Georgia, so we end up our route and we play
that. So you don't have to go. No long hours,
we go
you're
there.
Smart.
Yeah.
Those are brutal hours, some of those state fairs.
It's tough. We did it for a year.
Those are brutal hours. You enjoy working in North Carolina? The territory's good?
Yeah, it's been good. North Carolina's been great for it. Some good fairs.
They needed a little turnover in North Carolina because, like, you know, when Corky was first breaking into North Carolina and then a lot of us were kind of working that, it was just so much crazy competition for those fairs that weren't really that great. And they had all kinds of equipment, you know, the years Pew came down and Crown and all that. And it was insane. I mean, the amount of equipment they were putting in just wasn't worth it. But, you know, I think things backed off for a while. And now it's back more on even keel where you can.
Well, it's a tough state. The North Carolina Department of Labor, they have some real stringent guidelines on their rides, and your equipment has to be top notch to run in North Carolina, which keeps us on its toes. You know, it's good. It keeps you on your toes and it keeps the equipment in good shape because no matter what state you're in, you know. It has to comply with North Carolina.
They have the famous 100% law.
Yes. If you have one seatbelt that's not working, the whole ride shut down. So.
But could you take a ride off the merry-go-round, a horse off the merry-go-round? Would it be 100%?
You maybe could. I've never.
You can take a bumper car off the bumper cars.
Yeah, we have done that before. Yeah, if you have one, then maybe you're waiting on a part or something. We've never done that with a merry-go-round, but.
Yeah, I wonder if you could do a merry-go-round with the thing.
Probably still to get through inspection. But
you know, one time when I was with Avery Wheelock, we had a show. We had like a ride, a curl ride, like a Raiders, but had a ball crawl. Do you know they went in and counted the balls in the ball crawl? Because they're supposed to have 1,000, and I had 860 or something like that. So I had to get 140 balls from somewhere, which we went to every Toys R Us in the.
Yeah, that's the nature of our business
area. That was a little insane.
Inspection, ride inspection, and
who was counting 1,000 balls? It's can't you just look at the level? Like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah,
we're good. So what's in the future for Powers and Thomas?
I guess just to get through year to year with this whole labor issue situation, you know, it's either feast or famine. Either we're on top of the world and we're ready to go, or you're like, holy cow, we have no help. So it's, you know, it's.
Foreign labor? You couldn't even do it.
It'd be tough. We did it, you know, right after COVID. We didn't get our guys, and some of the guys we've had for, like I said, 20 years, and we didn't get them until July. And it was a tough year. My mom was running the tilt whirl, and we're setting up every single thing out there, and we're trying to putting in ads for help. And you get 10, 15 guys out there to help you tear down. You get the tilt whirl tore down, then they quit.
There's no guys left.
They don't want to work anymore.
You know, people say they couldn't do it, but I don't know. I just have faith in the people in this business that they'd figure something out. It wouldn't be easy by any means. And
it would have to change. Something would change.
They'd have to do something, but I think people would figure it out. I really do. I know they wouldn't want to do it, but I just
possibly
have faith
with the whole structure may change, maybe more like Europe, you know, where a family owns one or two rides.
And, yeah.
You know, something would have to change.
Couldn't run the whole show, less rides or whatever it would take, but there's definitely some changes. So you've been walking around, have you been to the trade show, been through it yet, or you just get here?
Yeah, Yeah, it's.
What do you think? Has the
talking to everybody. You can't go 4 feet without meeting somebody you know, that you've seen. You sold a piece of equipment too, bought a piece of equipment. It's a good time. We love coming down. So we've come down for 20 years.
They have so a lot of stuff here to show. That it's really it's full. You know, there's a lot of new rides. There's a lot of different rides. There's a lot of equipment here.
Yeah.
People participating. I was just talking to the people from Larson.
Yeah.
Who got bought up by Rocky Mountain Coasters. But they haven't been here in years, and they were talking about maybe coming back next year
it's a good
exhibiting
sign.
And
great sign.
Doing some stuff. Yeah, I mean, they have the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Yeah.
Selner, right? They bought Selner's assets, so they have the Tilt-A-Whirl. But they said they haven't sold the Tilt-A-Whirl in a little bit of time, but I think people would buy one again. I mean, I think it's out of sight, out of mind a lot of times. You know, they're not here.
It's a great ride. It's a good ride.
It's a great ride.
Yeah.
Or even like, we were debating this before. Did they ever make a kiddie version of it?
Not that I know of. I don't know. I know they made a nine tub Tilt-A-Whirl, bigger version.
Oh, bigger version.
But that's a good question. I don't know.
A little kiddie one would be pretty cool. As long as it fit adults.
Yeah.
A little easier to move. That's the hard part about the Tilt is the
tough ride.
So you and Eddie, you guys have your division of labor. You everybody knows
we'll
what they
okay.
do on the show.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. Yep, we work at least in the wintertime we get in the shop and take the rides apart, and you know, we get our break from being on the road, and we can get in the shop and paint the equipment. And sometimes we go down to just only a few guys in the shop. Which sometimes it's kind of nice. If you have too many guys, you end up playing the part of a manager, which we prefer to have less guys and actually be the guys that are changing the gearboxes, painting the rides, metal flaking the tubs. And
sometimes it's hard to come up with a plan too for what to do that day for so many people, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it's more enjoyable to get in there and do the work yourself.
You definitely get directed.
You close the paint hood and you just start painting, and you're not managing anymore, you're just doing
absolutely.
The work. It's more enjoyable.
You guys were here, of course, for Debbie Powers getting elected into the OABA Hall of Fame today, which is exciting. She's joining her husband. And
excited. Big day. Yes, very excited.
It's a nice recognition, a nice honor for you guys came out in force. Everybody's here. Janice's
her sister. Yep. We're very excited. Big day.
That's a really, her and Danny Houston, that's some company to be.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. Well, you guys have done so much in the last couple of years. It's unbelievable. It's hard to start a new show. I mean, I know you bought somebody, but...
Terrifying, yes.
It's terrifying. I've been there. It's really scary. At least you had a route, though, which is good. We had no route when we started.
Yes, yeah.
We had to book the whole thing from scratch, which is completely terrifying.
That's tough.
We did it. But I know there's going to be great things coming from you guys, and you should do more interviews. You're good at it. Good. Thank you so much
for
joining.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming. Tell Eddie and your family and everybody we said hi. And
I will.
He's actually been by a couple. You don't play on the soccer team, do you?
Eddie does.
Eddie does.
A soccer player.
But not you.
No. Eddie goes to Mexico and he plays soccer with a guy.
That's really cool. Every time I hear about that, I'm really...
Yeah. And we have a trophy, big trophy where our power is
top. I was telling Matt we should publish the scores.
Yeah, I don't think they did good last year.
They have like a 3-day tournament. No, I mean every show has
that. That would be great. That's a big deal for them.
It is.
Big deal.
It'll be fun. Well, thanks again so much for coming by, and we appreciate having you.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Goodbye.
Yep.
This podcast is brought to you by Innovative Ticketing is the ticketing source made for the amusement industry. Our staff of professionals can guide you through your setup, assist with customer service, even on the weekends when you most need it, and help increase your sales through promotions that work. Innovative Ticketing is the ticketing source made for the amusement industry. Sign up today at innovativeticketing.com.